Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here as I look out from the Figgis Studio window. The mass world of sunlight and heat. It's freaking warm out. It's April, the end of April. It's supposed to be like chill, not like 80 degrees. Holy crap. It's going to be a hot summer. Not sure how I feel about that yet. I'm not built for heat. I like cooler, more relaxing climates, not sweaty, hot stickiness. That's why I like April and fall. It's cool and calming. Cuddling. I'm a cuddler. Wow, that just sounded all kinds of dirty. Anyway, week. I've lost track of the weeks. As we are hunkered down in the New World Order of COVID, the world is changing quickly. Things are coming and going, and there's new stories, there's new revelations every week as far as what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's going to happen. As of now, a lot of comic book shops are looking at opening their doors. Some already have and are back to business as usual. However, they don't have any new comics. When they will have new comics is still left undisclosed or unknown at this time, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time. But when you're looking at an entertainment standpoint, movie theaters, still kaput. No sign of when that's going to change. Of course, haircuts and bars and all of that are still off the table because you have to get too close to one another, and you want the social distancing, of course. So it's a lot of weird exceptions. This is okay, but this is not. This is where we're going, but you can't do this yet. So we'll see what happens. As of yesterday, though, one of the greatest things that I think could possibly have happened. There was a Goonies reunion, and it was held by the happiest snowman you can ever imagine. Of course, I'm talking about the Goonies reunion that I have to say was way more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. I honestly thought when I saw this pop up on my radar that it was going to be kind of hokey and people were just, you know, I was expecting just bad clips or whatever, but how this all came together was actually very impressive. How it was presented was even better, and to see all of the characters from Goonies, and I mean everybody, even Richard Donner came in to talk a little bit about everything. Christopher Columbus, who wrote the Goonies, was on hand. I'm sure if Matuszak was still alive, he would have been there. He, of course, was not Chunk, he was Sloth, but it was great. Josh Gad did an incredible job hosting this, and we do have it up on the 5280 page if you haven't watched it yet. It's fun. It's a quick little 30-minute kind of back and forth. Everyone, of course, you know, pushing. The big question everybody had, of course, is are we ever going to see a Goonies reunion? And, of course, everybody just kind of hems and haws, and everybody's moved on to their perspective lives. What is hilarious to me, and in my mind, is Chunk, who is the only one who didn't really stay in the industry. He's a lawyer now. He's an entertainment lawyer, but he's like all like Jerry McConnell'd up. You know, he's fit. You know, he's sitting in a throne. I mean, it was hilarious seeing him in the interview because he seemed like the most eccentric and over the top, and here he is. He's just a lawyer. See, lawyers need love too. But it was fun to see, and I tip my hat to Josh. It was really fun to watch. Like I said, it's on our page as a moment of geek for today, and give it a look, give it a watch. It's worth the time. Also, what's worth the time? So as things start to, I don't know, stretch out, I'm down to like bare nothing as far as what to watch. I'm not sure where I want to go. I don't know if I want to watch again. Of course, I've been on Farscape forever, it feels. I never realized just how many episodes there were, which is fine. I've repeated season 4 now just because it's, I think, probably the best quality of the series. Actually, season 3 is pretty good. But season 4 by far, very fun. Been rewatching that. But thankfully, Netflix has come to the rescue with a new series. Ghost in the Shell has come back, and it picks up from the other series. I don't know if I want to say very well, very seamlessly. There are questions. They're, of course, in California. The end of the world has happened. Society has completely fallen apart, and it looks like they're paying $1,500 for tacos. So, God, let's hope we don't get to that level of craziness. So, there's some intrigue. I'm not going to give it away. I'm also not all the way through it yet. But her ghost team have basically become mercenaries with the with Section 9 dissolving. So far, it's been very entertaining. It's kind of jarring, actually. It's animated, but it's the computer animated, but it's not the 3D computer animated. So it's really disorienting at first. If finally you kind of settle, I think, into it and you get used to it, like by episode 3, they're only like 22 minute episodes. So the show so far, it's fun to watch, but I think I really miss the older animation style. I miss the gritty graininess of the art, and I actually, after watching this, the first couple of episodes, I ended up going and pulling out my original Ghost in the Shell series that was, I think it came out of Dark Horse. I'd have to double check that. But the original comic book series was groundbreaking and amazing, and of course for its time, which was late 90s, was awesome. I loved that series, and nobody else around me really got it until years later, and they're like, hey, Ghost in the Shell isn't that bad. Of course there wasn't a whole lot of product after that, but the film, of course, didn't do it any favors. The cartoons, awesome. The anime, great. This one, I'm still hesitant to call good, bad, and different. I'm sure that studio line ringing. I'll wait to pass judgment on it just yet. Maybe do a meat and potatoes on it. Haven't decided yet, but that's not my department. I'll have to delegate that one off. Or I might do my own meat and potatoes for a change. I'm curious to see where it goes. It's fun right now. They did bring the little droid tank. I don't even know what the hell they're called. But they act like kids and they're tanks and they blow shit up. Kind of destructive and fun and enjoyable. I'll take it. So, that going on, at least I have something new to watch. There's nothing really much on the horizon that I've seen on the Netflix or Amazon side that I'm too excited about. But there are a couple of other things coming up, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I spoke about it last week. We do have a trailer that came out, and they started out in 1943. So it's ramping up, and I do like that even Coulson's all like, what time are we in, as they're trying to get back to our time. Hydra, of course, they've already release trailers and stuff like that of images of the Hydra ring, and I'm stoked for this. Don't have to wait long. It's in May. I'm not sure how COVID is going to be and all of that at that point, but read his message to me. She, of course, is working on her stuff and her bunker, and she's got some new booze. So please also do check out Red's store or go over to her page, because she does have some new boo items and some new boo art, and she's been hard at work on her projects. And I'm just messaging her back. So, there we go. So, there you go. Red says hi. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I want it to end strong. I want it to end on a high note. I really don't want to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. end. I would have been fine if they had continued the series, but we lost the team. And they introduced a whole new team. I think that would have been the wiser play. And as much as I know you don't want to see, you know, a whole team of characters that you've come to love, that have hooked you on the show, that have brought you in, that you've grown with, you've cried with, because there have been some tear-jerking moments. You've seen characters die that you really didn't think that would happen. And I do like that the shows have embraced the mortality of their characters. And S.H.I.E.L.D. did it with flair and with style. And a lot of them went down swinging. They were troopers, and you never thought that some of the characters would be up targets, but they definitely have made some characters expendable that you wouldn't have expected. What I think they should have done was continued the S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline, but new characters, new approach, and the team that we know now is somehow lost to time or lost in space or just whereabouts unknown. Something happened, and that is a good way of continuing on the S.H.I.E.L.D. tradition and introducing an entirely new team. I'm hoping with this happening in the 40s, maybe we'll see some Agent Carter stuff, which they've hinted at, and I think that would be awesome. Maybe we'll see a little Chris Evans. Maybe. I mean, we started with Nick Fury. Why can't we end with Captain America? I doubt it, but it would still be fun. I know the Russo brothers have been posting behind-the-scenes stuff from Infinity War, and just the other day they tweeted the video of Chris Evans, Captain America's final day on set. I know they've been doing it for Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, and a bunch of other characters, but they haven't really done Chris Evans yet, and to see that show up, it was like, oh, no more Captain America, which I think is sad, but at the same point, okay, but I don't want to see anyone else doing Cap, just because Chris Evans really did pull off an incredible Captain America, and I can't fault him for anything that he did as the character, same as Robert Downey Jr. He is Iron Man. Let's face it. No one's filling those boots anytime soon. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the trailer is out. Be sure to watch it. I haven't put it on the page yet, but keep an eye out for it. I may throw that up Thursday. We'll see. We'll see how the day goes. Speaking of trailers, the Stargirl trailer is up. I haven't shared it. And I'll tell you why. I don't care. And I shouldn't say it that way. I know CW usually does a great job with the DC side. And it's fine. I get it. But it's Stargirl. She's a 15-year-old kid who gets the cosmic staff from a family member or a relative. I'm not sure how they're playing this one. We'll see. JSA is Justice Society of America, the older heroes, Our Man, and all of that. We'll see how they portray that. And there's also been hints that the Teen Titans or Young Justice, they haven't decided which yet, I think, or they don't want to give it away. Simply because, I'll tell you, two reasons. Simply because they don't want to ruin it, and they also have the Teen Titans series that they are streaming. So I don't think they want any negative or pull from that, but they want to definitely involve some of the characters and take advantage of her age. Because let's face it, Stargirl is 15 now. She's not going to stay 15 for long or forever. So that's the issue that I have with the character. She's a kid, but that's the whole premise of the character. So what happens when she starts getting into her 20s? I mean, her teens are right around the corner, and I know we'll see the teenage angsty coming of age and all of that, and I don't really know if I have the patience in it in me for that right now. And maybe I will in May, because this will also be premiering next month, and it is lighthearted, and maybe it'll be fun. Joe McHale handing off the Cosmic Staff, which is hilarious. Never thought I would see Joe McHale as a superhero. I never thought I'd see Bill Burr as a bounty hunter. So there are a lot of surprises coming around out of the comedic world, and you know, it's fun, and maybe if I approach it a little bit differently, a little bit lighter, and a little more tongue-in-cheek, then perhaps I'll feel better about it. But right now, I'm not too psyched about Stargirl, and I think it may be one of the lesser ones. We've seen Legends of Tomorrow go completely off the rails of where they started in comparison to where they are now. They definitely embraced the humor side of it. They're definitely not taking themselves seriously at all, and they're still telling some decent stories, even though the majority of the crew is moved on. There's not a whole lot of supers on there now, powered, because I think right now the only real powered, I mean, we have Constantine, so maybe like half of the crew has powers. Everyone else is just martial arts and badasses, so it's still fun to watch, and just to see how, when they end this, will be curious to see. So we'll keep an eye out on it. As the world spins and things have gone on, there have been a lot of special interests and some fun stories. Of course, last week I talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his crazy pony escapades, which continue. Don't get me wrong, they haven't gone anywhere, and they've just continued, and Arnold Schwarzenegger had yet another video of a pony in his house eating, which gotta love Arnie. So as now I'm going around watching, seeing what other shows have got going on. Josh Gates is doing kind of a after the hunt from his office, which is amazing. I definitely need to do the studio or my personal office like that, because he's got some pretty cool trinkets in the background. But he's also doing like focuses on different cocktails and things that kind of coincide with what the episode's about. And he does do video chatting with a couple of other people that were in the show. It's fun. It's not even that long. It's more like a 10-15 minute touch base, give you something different to watch after watching the episode. The other one that has been great is Guy's Grocery Games. Now, Guy, of course, in quarantine, has been watching older episodes of his show. And some of them have been so long, he has forgotten how things have gone or what was going on. And it's fun to see him relive some of his career as it's happening. So him and his son are sitting in his den, I guess, or in his house, watching the older episodes, and it is great. Guy's hair is completely out of control. Of course, his son's got this coif of hair going on, and they're just sitting there going back and forth, talking about who they think's going to win, talking about the food. It's really, really fun, and so, so worth it. I think it's on Wednesday nights. Be sure to check it out, because it is so worth it, and it's amazing. So with that, Guy also has launched a relief fund to help laid off restaurant workers, which I thought was great. So his goal was to get $100 million. And he's reached out to, you know, people, sending messages to CEOs, corporations such as Pepsi and Uber Eats. So he's really, really pushing to help relief. So he chipped in and started it with $500. But right now, so far, by last count, he was at $8.3 million for the fundraising. And like I said, his goal, he won't stop until he hits $100 million. And he told this to Food & Wine magazine, and he's continuing pushing, and you gotta love the fact that Guy is just, he's so well grounded. I mean, I admire the man so much. The guy is fantastic. And he always gets make sure his employees have health benefits, and he really knows how to treat his staff. So you gotta tip your hat to Guy. So with that in mind, if you want to donate or help with this relief fund, I'm sure you can go to his page and click on make a donation. And it goes to restaurant workers, which at the end of this, I don't know what restaurant's going to be open. I'm curious to see who survives and who gets stimulus checks and all of that. But that's a story for another time. Including Masked Singer. Speaking of culinary arts, and I know I may be alone now because I just watch it alone. Is Masked Singer? Everyone else, since there is nothing else on, has started watching it as well, and we're down to the final five stars, and Bret Michaels was last week's elimination. Sorry, spoilers, but it was weird to see, you know, who I would consider a superstar, a rock star by definition, get eliminated this early. But I guess he's also, you know, suffered head trauma, and he struggles with memory loss and things like that. But he's still very cordial, very genuine, very cool, very laid back, and I was sad to see him go because he was the banana, and the banana was fun, and you can tell he was having fun with it. So to see him get eliminated, of course, everyone gives crap about Nick Cannon, and I guess I don't have a real problem with Nick Cannon. There are problems with everyone else on the show, but I Nick Cannon, I'm just kind of impartial with. So this week, they are going to have a special guest of Gordon Ramsay. Of course, everybody knows my infatuation with Gordon, and I don't know why they have him up there as a judge. Maybe because Fox doesn't have anything for Gordon to do right now because he can't cook, and he can't go rescue restaurants, because that takes on an entirely different meaning at this point. But to just see Gordon this far out of his element might just be entertaining in itself. I mean, we've seen Joel McHale up there a couple of times, and Sharon Osbourne last week, which was hilarious, because that woman just cracks me up. Every time I see her, all I can see is the Osbournes. No matter how hard I try, I can just see her with those herd of dogs and poor Ozzy. But just to see Gordon up there might be a little over the top. Too over the top? I don't know. Let me know. Let me know what you think. Let's see. What's going on in the geek sphere as we move on to movies? We talked about the Scooby-Doo release last week. Shudder is releasing a zombie film called Blood Quarantine. And it was supposed to hit theaters, but because of the closures and everything, they are going to be releasing it to streaming and video. I think this is great. I watched the trailer for it. Blood Quarantine is streaming on Shudder, of course. Sorry, I didn't say that to begin with. But it is awesome. The makeup and the prosthetics on the zombies look phenomenal. I'm talking right up there with Dawn of the Dead, really top quality zombies. I mean, it's not like Zombies in the Snow or anything else like that, but it is really good. It was originally slated to be released in the spring of this year, and, well, you know, things happen, and now they don't want to miss anything out on the release, and I think it's a good time. I'm honestly surprised that they were planning on doing a theater release on this, but having it go directly to video and streaming on Shudder, I think it's a good idea. But I will put in the trailer for what it is in the post. But it it is so good. And given kind of the current situation with the quarantine and all of that, it kind of hits a nerve, but doesn't. It really speaks to isolation, zombies, it is, I can't really go too much further into it without giving anything away. So watch it, check it out. At least we got some horror. As if every day isn't bad enough, we can, you know, watch it on TV. Watch it on streaming. Watch it on Shudder. Shudder. Thinner. Anyway, sorry. Wrong movie. What else is going on? Oh, this was just announced, and this is oh my God. I'm shocked and I'm curious about how this will turn out. I know I'm curious about everything these days because nothing is out there. But this isn't the first time that they have attempted this. Terry Pratchett's Discworld is being adapted as a series for TV. Now, there have been releases, four different videos that have adapted Terry Pratchett's Discworld. Of course, the Hogfather, The Color of Magic, and there's two others. I can't remember the names at the moment. If Red was here, she would know instantly. But evidently, they are going to adapt all of Terry Pratchett's Discworld to television, which I think this is freaking awesome. I don't know how. I mean, okay, let's back up. Terry Pratchett passes away in 2015, and of course, it's a masterpiece. I really can't use any other adjective other than masterpiece. The way the books read, the characters, the development, the story, and in the world that is Discworld it's great. And it has the humor and the unique perspective that Terry carried with the world. So, of course, the first book is Color of Magic. And the film that they did has Sean Astin in it running around as the vacationer. And it is by far an amazing BBC production that I didn't think could be outdone. Of course, it came out in 1983, and Terry just ran with it, of course, because he produced 41 novels. So they're going to adapt 41 of his books to TV. I mean, it's an incredible undertaking, and that's a lot of material. The thing about Discworld is everything kind of is disjointed and happens at different points in time, and there are some books that go with other books, but they're not in the same series. And Red tried diving in. She even put up her cheat sheet of books to read for specific characters and everything else. So I'm curious, I want to see how they do this whole adaptation, but the characters, and if they just follow the books, this is a hit. This is going to be amazing. Because, I mean, Good Omens, even though he wasn't around for that, Neil Gaiman did carry on greatly. And I talked about that last week. With Sandman coming to the small screen, and now to see, I don't know who have they, I don't think they've announced who is going to be doing the directing and who's going to be doing the screenplays and all of that. But, did it say? I don't think they have who's going to be putting them on yet. So it is a huge endeavor. I don't know if the BBC still has the rights to it or how that's going to work. I know Pratchett's daughter, Rihanna, is very excited and motivated for the endeavor and is ready to share the Discworld with everybody. Because believe it or not, a lot of people don't know about Discworld. They'll see the tortoise with the elephants and the planet, you know, the flat disc on top of their back or on their trunks. And just kind of like, oh, yeah. But I don't think they really truly get it, or they've never read it, or they're just kind of like, it's just one of those little obscure nerdisms that not everybody is fully embraced. Which, you know what, I'm all for something new, and this is definitely going to be something new, and I think it's going to hit everybody by storm. So I'm excited to see as this shape ups. Of course, they're actually going to start with book one, Color of Magic, so we will revisit that whole adventure. And I'm curious how much of a budget that they're going to have, because there is fairly, I mean, we're looking at intricate costuming, CGI, of course, and just the costuming alone is going to be tremendous. And then the world itself is nothing normal. Nothing in Discworld is really, truly normal. Exotic sets, exotic landscapes. It's, I can't wait. I really, really am excited about this. So we'll see how it turns out. I will definitely be watching this closely. Also, speaking of books being adapted, R.L. Stine's Goosebumps is also landing a new live-action series. Now, this is not to be confused with the film with Jack Black or the television series that already, you know, was successful in the 90s. This is a whole new adventure, whole new live action series that they're going to be producing. So, because I think the season, it was 90, 95 to 98 was the TV show. So, and with two films that followed up with it, I'm curious. I want to give it a go. I mean, I didn't really watch Goosebumps back in the day. I did see the films just because of Jack Black, and they were fun. They're not horrifying. I mean, okay, yeah, the dolls running around. Okay, that is kind of creepy. But the gummies were hilarious, and gnomes, you know, vile, despicable creatures, scum of the earth. Anyway, the full-scale licensing program and everything for the movies was great, and I think this actually added to the decision. So Scholastic Entertainment is behind this, and they have the licensing, and they're going to tell a whole full-scale story. So no releases as far as who's in it, what the story or the premise is, but if you're a fan of Goosebumps, which I can't imagine who isn't out there, either you grew up on it or you're telling it to your kids now, yeah, this will be fun. And if you're not reading this to your kids, hold on, come on. This is ample material. Binge-worthy. Or so they say. What else? So I've been on this new Doctor Who kick because Big Finish has been releasing free audiobooks, and I've been going through that, and they've been running specials. They did this actually, this is how I would do it. This was perfect. They did this weird little teaser on a Time Lord Victorious, and it was just a picture of David Tennant, Time Lord Victorious. They really didn't give away anything of what it meant. It just was coming. So now we finally get a hint as far as what's going on. It is something that is going to go... BBC is extremely ambitious in this, because I guess it is going to be an absolute immersive experience that is going to envelop BBC as far as the books, as far as the games, as far as the comics, the audiobooks, everything. It is going to go for the entire... the information that we have is kind of scarce, but it is supposed to stretch for the coming year, 12 months, and the story is going to feature the 8th, 9th, and 10th Doctors. Of course, Rose will be the companion that I guess is going to kind of overlap with all three. So, yeah, I'm excited. I can't believe that we're going to finally get something with Eccleston's doctor, because they always kind of avoid him just because of how, I don't know, if the bad feelings or how that all is breaking down these days. But it's fine. And then, of course, Tennant, who I'm sure you didn't even have to try and talk into joining up on this, and the war doctor. So, or finishes out the war, who gets to regenerate into Eccleston. So, this, I'm like I said, details are sketchy at best. They're just teasing it right now. The artwork is great, and evidently this is supposed to be kind of involved with the Time War, a page from it, but also happens before time and going to the time of the creation of the universe, of the Elders. And I'm excited to see how this breaks out and how immersive it truly is going to get. There is the promotion picture that's up on Big Finish, and I think it's probably also on BBC's Doctor's page, but it I wish I had more to tell you. I think this is going to be great. I am looking for new Doctor material. Of course, you can never get enough Doctor Who, in my opinion, and this definitely plays right into it, so it should be fun. We'll let you know as we get more information about it. Also, in Doctor Who news, The Power of the Daleks is returning to a special animated version that will be released on Blu-ray or DVD. They haven't said anything as far as digital content when it'll be available, but I'm sure that's going to be an option on Amazon. This comes available July 6th of this year. And this is basically, The Power of the Daleks is a story that is semi-incomplete now. This is Peter Troughton, the second Doctor's first run-in with the Daleks as that Doctor. And it is creepy, and I remember seeing this ages and ages and ages ago, but a lot of the original footage is gone because when BBC did their big purge of their archives and all of that, this got lost. So it's fragmented at best as far as the video. So them doing an animated, and these animateds that they have done have been really successful. I've enjoyed the few that I have seen on BBC America. And they take the audio from the original show, the original series, and animate it with lifelike animation, and it's fun, and it really helps piece together older Doctor Who that normally you wouldn't see. And I know a lot of the second Doctor, Peter Troughton's Doctor, are lost, and that it's sad because. Patrick Troughton. His Doctor was fun, and he was completely different from what we had seen before, and no one, you know, how do you replace a character that no one had ever seen or done, or how do you interpret that? So him to do what he did as the second Doctor is tremendous to help it continue on for, what, 56 years? Something ridiculous like that? So with Patrick's run at this, and to see some of his lost shows pop up, very cool. But like I said, it's animated. It will be available on July 6th. So if a Best Buy is open, if they exist at the end of this, go check it out. And I know I'll buy one. Yeah, why not? Like, the Doctor Who collection isn't big enough already. Let's see. What else? Touched on comic book news a little bit. As far as shops are open, they are. Some of them are still doing the video sales. I know later this week I will be on the All Seas Collectibles podcast talking about collectibles. I think this week, for my visit this time, is statues. I might cover some statues. I'm not sure which ones, or which ones I want to talk about, or, God, series? I'm not sure. But it'll definitely be something on statues. And we'll just see which ones I decide to bring. So Allseas is open. They're still doing a couple of different sales. Time Warp should be open. And I know they're still doing video sales. So be sure to check them out. Hall of Justice is still doing the same. And they've also added a cool feature for Hall of Justice, which is new to you. They're not new comics. It's just new stuff that they've gotten or things that you may not have seen. So it's kind of fun. And I've seen some cool stuff that I probably wouldn't normally look for or see. And yeah, so check out their video stuff. And we did bring up last week Susie Q's jewelry. Be sure to go over and visit her page. She's another retailer in need who survives almost solely on cons. That is a big driver for her revenue, for her business. So go over and give her some love. In comic book news, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a couple of years ago when I did Denver Comic Con, they had Eastman was there, and they did kind of an interview with them. And if you didn't see it, I know it's in our archives for Denver Comic Con, and it was a great video, and it was fun getting to chat him up and talk about Turtles. And since this is right out of, you know, right there, like Walking Dead, you know, you kind of feel like you own it. It's, you're there at ground zero. You knew about it before anybody else. You were reading the comics before it had caught fire, before the toy line. And you're like, this is awesome. And you own it. You get a certain little bit of pride, and you don't want to share it with anyone else because you're like, no, it's like music, you know, rock bands. I heard them first. This is my mine. But It's better with friends. Share it with everybody, because that's where the fun really begins, and that's where you get these great conversations. So anyway, doing the interview, this seems almost like right out of my question, because I had asked him, is there a story that finishes the Turtles? Because I made a reference to Old Man Logan, so was there like Old Man Raphael? And he just kind of laughed, but evidently, this was a little bit closer to being finished than he let on, because he touched on it, but The Last Ronin is a story that is just that. It is the final Turtle story of how they really wanted to finish the Turtles book. And Eastman talked about it in the interview, and it was great. But evidently, both Kevin and Peter worked on this, originally drafted it 30 years ago. So this has been a story that they had been sitting on for 30 years. Well, finally, with IDW and everything else, they've been able to get back together, which was, I think, the first key element here. Sure, they probably worked on the story 30 years ago and then went their separate ways. But now that they're back together and you know, have the waters have calmed and things have smoothed over as far as the bad feelings and all of that, have polished up the story. So they are doing a 5-issue limited series on this, and it's kind of like they're billing it as an alternate future. So it's not impacting the current Turtles storyline that IDW has been running, and it's amazing. I can't think of a better way to do this, because the current storyline that's been going on has been actually really, 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 really entertaining. I can't even put into words. The art that I saw for the book was, it is very, it feels like the old comic. It has that warm, comfy feeling that I got back in 87 when the Turtles started. And it is so, so easy to get into that. I was upset that it was just a teaser. So the first issue will have, they're saying 48 pages, and both Kevin and Peter have worked on it, and it is exactly what the fans fans want. It's what the fans are clamoring for. No release date yet on that, but as soon as we get one, I will be sure to relay and let you guys know what it's sitting at and all of that. We didn't get any questions this week, probably because everyone was distracted with the warm weather and waiting to see what is going on. In video game news, the Switch is sold out. I don't think you're going to see a Switch for the rest of the year. I guess being cooped up and all of that, everyone wanted something to do, and the Switch was it. Great choice, and go buy Luigi's Haunted Mansion as a personal recommendation for that, because that is a great game to have for the Switch. But if you were looking for one as a gift, or thinking, that stimulus check that I got, I'm going to go buy me a Switch. Yeah, forget about it. Gone. All gone. In other weird news, the government decided to distract everyone from COVID-19 by releasing declassified UFO footage. Don't pay attention to this hand. No, not this hand. This hand over here, the one that looks like a flying saucer. You can Google search that. It's worth a read and a look. Some of the pictures, you're just like, what? Yeah, not too surprising. So it's okay. Let's see, what else? Speaking of DC and Stargirl and all of that, and Legends, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Flash. So with COVID hitting and the shortened season, I guess they... And I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that Flash's ending has changed from what they were going to do. However, the production team is not letting this deter them from what they want to accomplish. And if anything, has given them the opportunity to change their plan and really, really mix it up. They are saying that the May 12th episode, which is going to be their season finale, is going to be huge and one of the biggest battles that we have seen for the season. So of the show, actually. And we're also going to see some return characters come back. And we'll see. I guess originally they had planned that they were going to have another battle with Zoom, and that changed because not being able to film it. So what they were able to compile and put together, I'll be interested to see, because I think this has probably been one of Flash's better seasons, and it's been... I think with the teaser of Crisis on Infinite Earths for the last, for the first half of the season helped it. And then, of course, the fallout and how they deal with it. And then, of course, Barry starting to lose his speed and the death of the Speed Force, all out of the comics and really well done. So to see how they're going to finish it and what transpired, of course, we get Sue Dibny. She's not Dibny yet. She's, of course, Darabon. Before she actually marries the Elongated Man, which we've talked about. But to see that interjection and all of that, will and of course Mirror Master, the villain, or is he? So to see how they're going to pull it all together without the final episodes, they're promising something monumental, something we haven't seen, and I'm excited to see. So of course May 16th. May 12th will be the final for this season. We'll see when they get back. How will that all break down? What they want to do? Who knows? Red's messaging me on the other side. Yeah. And that's about it. So the team is surviving. The listener is lost on a boat. Meat and Potatoes continues as normal. We will be looking at adding a couple of new elements to the 5280 page, and hopefully you guys like them. It's all in about entertainment and having fun and adjusting to the new world and mourning the death of the old one, which is kind of an interesting take that I saw, that people are in the mourning stages of the lives that they used to lead and now the new ones that they have. So, like everything else, we are evolving and changing and growing. So you'll see some changes. Of course, once everything gets back to normal, the team will come back together. We will have Aaron back. We will have Red back. Tao is coming back as soon as it's safe, as soon as everybody is properly looked after and taken care of, because that is our prime responsibility, is the safety of the team. So, but that said, we haven't forgotten. We want it. We want to entertain. We want to keep people in the loop. Dragon Con is happening from the recent information that I saw. So Georgia is going to press forward with that. And I cannot believe that that's going to happen, because Dragon Con is so tightly packed with people and wowzers. So, yeah. Our con, the one that we're helping with, Colorado Festival of Horror, is still also slated to continue. In addition, at the end of May, the All Seas Fan Expo will happen, but at a much smaller venue. They're going to move it to the store, and we are still going to have the guests that we were promoting and all of that. So it's just going to be a smaller venue and a chance for everyone to at least get out, stretch your legs, Get some collectibles, have some fun, talk to somebody other than, you know, through video chat, interact with somebody, get some air, which is a plus these days. So like I said, give us a like, give us a share. I still love frogs. They're the best. And what else? I think that kind of wraps it up. Like I said, Nick, this week I will be guesting on All Seas Collector, so be sure to tune in for that on their Facebook page. And when we come out of this, there will be some changes that you'll see. Hopefully you'll like it. I've been working hard. Big plans, big ideas. Well, it's a big head. So there you have it. And we will be back next week. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.